Good morning. We are in our last week, our fourth week of I Am Jesus. And here's what we're doing. As you guys know, we're looking at the seven claims, or Jesus made seven claims in which he said, I am, and he gives them a claim of who he is. And so we're looking at the four of these. And a quick series recap as you're turning in your Bibles to John chapter 15. Let me give a quick series recap. In the first week, we learned that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And so what we see there is the resurrection was this powerful moment, this powerful event in history. But the resurrection is far more than an event. The resurrection is a person. The second week, we learned that Jesus was the good shepherd. And he says that he lays down his life for his sheep. Now, in this analogy, in this whole picture here, that we learn that Jesus is the shepherd and that we are the sheep, and that's not always the greatest compliment, but it's a great thing that we have the shepherd to lead us. And then the third week, last week, we talked about how Jesus is the light of the world. And in that moment where you choose to follow Christ, where you make him the Lord of your life, in that moment, not only is he the light of the world, but he becomes the light of your world. And what a powerful thing to say. And so today we're going to look at a claim that is incredibly important that Jesus made. And in fact, it's almost more important that we capture this one over the other ones, because when we capture this one, it leads us to capturing the others. In fact, this is one of my favorite passages of the Bible. And so we're going to read today in John 15, beginning in verse 5. In fact, Keith, would you read that verse for us this morning?
Absolutely. Reading from John 15, 5, words of Christ. I am the vine, and you are the branches. And if you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
In fact, would you read that for us one more time? Absolutely. I want us to capture that. Absolutely. Read that. I want you to mark on this. Read it again for us, Keith.
I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing.
Awesome. Thank you. If you look at this statement, it's a weighty statement. He's saying, I am the vine and you're the branches. And he's saying here that in me, you can do a lot. And apart from me, not in me, you can do nothing. And in fact, he's saying the very visual here is he's saying, I am life. I am in me, there's life. That in me, I am the source of life. That this is the visual that he wants us to catch, that he is the source of our life. And he said this in verse 1, that God the Father is the gardener, and Jesus is the one who's the vine, and that he's the one who is the gardener that tends to the vines to make sure that they bear fruit, Jesus being the source of life. And so let me say this, as we read this passage and as we read this scripture, let me say this, that Jesus and God expects for us, for you and me, to bear fruit. So that should serve two purposes for us today. One, it should be encouraging. God expects me. I'm going to bear fruit. And another is if we're going in a path that's not bearing fruit, that we kind of tweak direction so that it leads us in a way that we do bear fruit. But God expects that, because God is the one who takes care of the branches. Jesus, Son of God, is the vine. And so in that, the source of life, that we're going to bear fruit. You see, as a Christian, the beautiful thing is God doesn't expect us to live this dormant Christian life, to where we have this moment of salvation, this transformational moment, and then suddenly from there on, we have a great day after and maybe an exciting season after salvation, and then we just go dormant or stale or plateau and dry from there on. He expects for us to bear fruit, because we are connected to the source of life, to the vine. These are big statements that the Bible says he wants you to bear not just fruit, but much fruit. And apart, we can do nothing. That in itself is weighty. But when you put it in the context of the day, it carries even more weight. And let me ask you this. If you were in the last moment, the last point of your life, and you knew that this would be the last thing that you had to say to your close friends, to your family, this was the last thing that you had to say, what would you want them to know? What is the information that you would want to impart to them? What are those things that you would want to make sure that they understood? Several years ago, I started a kind of a tradition that I make a video when I'm going out of town or I'm going out of the country on a mission trip or I'm flying to another city. I make a video to my daughters telling them some things that I want them to know were I to pass away on the trip and never see them again. And I put it on my computer, and so if they would find that when they get on my computer, because there's things that I want them to know as young ladies and know as women of God and know how their father feels about them. And that is the context in which we see Jesus talking to his disciples, the last thing that he wants them to capture. In fact, in John 15 is where we're at right now. That's when Jesus said, I am the vine. Two chapters before is John 13, and they start having the Last Supper, the last meal that he's going to have together with his disciples before the crucifixion, before his death, that this is the last meal he has with his disciples. And then 15, he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And then in chapter 18, Jesus gets arrested. So 13 is the supper, 18 he's arrested, and everything in the middle is dinner conversation. Everything in the middle is table talk to where they're having this moment. And so for you today, if you're in that context with your closest friends, what do you want them to know in that moment? That's the context that Jesus is in. And so Jesus is saying this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And so today, why is it so important to stay connected to the vine? This week, I had to cut down two trees in my yard. And this was one of the branches. And when it was cut off, I set it aside and it had beautiful leaves on it. And these two giant trees that we had to cut down and now stacked in the backyard had these beautiful green, lush leaves that provided tons of shade. And if you go back now, about 7 or 8 days later, 10 days later, that nothing but brown because it's not connected. And that I don't think any fruit is going to come from this. But if you go and you see a bush that is connected and it's nurtured and it's getting water, it's going to produce green leaves in the right season. It might bloom with flowers, that it's going to blossom and be healthy and produce. And yet this is not going to produce at all. And Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you can produce much fruit when we remain in him. And then in John 15, 1, it says this, I am the true vine and my father is the gardener. And here the suggestion is that there's two types of vines, a true vine and a false vine. It gives a connotation and the feeling that there is a true vine, him, and a false vine that we can connect ourselves to. And so many times we attach ourselves to the false vines thinking that it's going to produce fruit in our lives. And so maybe today if I were to take this and I were to dip this in a cup of water and the cup of water would be the false vine, that we would put it in here and I don't think that that's going to cause this to produce leaves again, right? That it's not going to happen. And that's what we do sometimes is sometimes we connect ourselves to the vine of success and we think if I can just move up one rung in the ladder this year, that's fruit. And God's saying no. They were saying, if I can just make some more money, get a 10% raise, up my pay grade, that is fruit. No. And sometimes we say, if I can become PTA president, if I can climb the social ladder and acceptance, and we're connecting here, if I can just get elected to office, if I can have say in my community, if that is fruit in my life. And God's saying, no, that's not fruit at all. And sometimes we think outward appearance things is what it would take for us to bear fruit. If I can just drive the right car, that's bearing fruit. No. If I can just, you know what? If I can just have the appearance that my yard is mowed, my house is bigger, my furniture is swankier, and my clothes look good, and yet sometimes all the outside of our house and family looks good, but inside there is strife and turmoil. If I can just, you know what, increase my physical appearance and I maybe get in shape and I maybe get the haircut and I go get some tan and I get some Botox and I get some lipo and I begin to look good, baby, woo! that's fruit. No. And yet inside we're dealing with sin and we're dealing with emotions that are ungodly and we're dealing with lust. That is not, that is the false vine. We need to stay connected to the true vine. So why is it so important to stay connected to the true vine? Why is that so important in our lives? We've already talked about it is the source of life. That the Bible says that Christ came to give us life and life abundantly. And that as we are connected to the vine, Keith, not only then do we have spiritual life by coming to Jesus, but there is abundant life to where there's joy in our heart. There's life inside of us that is fulfilling. Why is it so important for us to stay connected to the vine? Because staying connected to the vine produces fruit. As we are connected to the source of life, if you're taking notes today, staying connected to that source of life produces fruit in us. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, we will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We're gonna hammer and hammer this verse today that he wants us to stay connected to the vine. And he says, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, nothing. What kind of fruit? If we've talked about the false vine, what type of fruit are we talking about here today? In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. And it says, against such things there is no law. Why are there no laws against these things? Why does our government not say, oh no, you can't have love, you can't have joy. We want you to be the most miserable people in the world. No peace, you can't have patience, kind. Why are there no laws against that? Because these things are good. These things are right. For us to produce this type of fruit in our lives is a good thing. And so that's what we're saying here is there's no law against these things because it's good. And Jesus is saying we will bear fruit. Now look, there are seasons in our lives where it doesn't seem like we're bearing fruit. I mean, we've all been through those times where it doesn't feel like we're bearing fruit at all. In fact, the family, when you think, man, I'm trying to get my family in line, I'm trying to get unity in the home, and instead of getting better sometimes, it gets worse. And maybe as you're praying for that friend or that family member or that neighbor, you're praying for them, and instead of them drawing closer to the Lord, it seems like they're going further away from God. Maybe you, on your job, you're saying, hey, okay, I want to produce fruit on my job, and it feels like that you're getting less fruit. And maybe you say, you know what, I'm dealing with these anger issues, I'm dealing with these attitude issues, and that I'm instead of making fruit and getting a better attitude, it seems like I'm struggling with this over and over and over, and instead of producing fruit, it feels like that our life is just stale and nothing is producing in our lives. But here's my encouragement to you today. The Bible says remain in him. As believers, we have to have some staying power. As believers, we have to have some staying power because God did not call us to be a one-hit wonder. God did not call us to have this moment of salvation and it felt great in the moment, this season where we follow God. God did not call us to be a one-hit wonder, but instead to remain in him, to stay connected. And when we stay connected, when we remain, then what happens? It says you're going to bear fruit. The promise isn't, Alan, you might bear fruit. If you remain faithful to the Lord, you might. Remain. Write that in your notes. Keep it in your mind. Stay the course. Keep going. Remain in him. And when we do that, Aaron, though there's seasons where it feels like there's no fruit, it says you will bear much fruit. Isn't that a great promise? That's the promise of God. Courtney, that you will bear much fruit when you remain in him and he remains in you. And so today, man, I want to encourage you, remain, because as you remain, you know what happens? You say, I'm not producing any fruit. You might see one little fruit that pops up of faithfulness. And as you have that one little fruit of faithfulness pop up in your life, if she has that one little fruit pop up, then well, that's just the beginning. And out of that one small thing, much fruit will grow. It not, man, capture this. It's not a maybe. You might bear much fruit. You will bear much fruit as you remain in him. But you have to remain because being connected produces fruit in our life. But second of all, why is it so important for us to remain connected to the vine? If you're taking notes today, being disconnected produces nothing. I want to read this verse again. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Underline this, apart from me, you can do nothing. And then John 15:6 says this, if you do not remain in me, you're like the branch that's thrown away and withers. A week ago, 10 days ago, this was an incredibly beautiful branch. Today, it's ugly. In just a few weeks, it'll be taken to the dump and will be thrown away. It won't be stacked in the yard and it'll be never used again. It says you'll be thrown away and withers, picked up and thrown at the fire and burned. That's a bad day to be that branch. And truthfully, that's an incredibly heavy verse to dissect right there. When we're not connected to the vine, we can do nothing. Have you ever found yourself in this room judging someone else? Raise your hand. Anyone in here ever judge someone else? In this room, has anyone in here ever said, you saw someone doing something and you said, I will never do that? Anyone in here done that? A few months ago, I was driving home from church, and you know, and I see this pink Vespa driving down the road, and I thought, I'll never drive a pink Vespa. I'll never ever drive. Nothing wrong with Vespas. Vespas are fine. I mean, Alan, you've got a couple of Vespas, right? You know, and you've got a. Nothing wrong with Vespas, but I said, I'll never drive a pink Vespa. And as I get up close to the stoplight, light turned red. And as I pulled up beside the Vespa, I realized that it's a girl driving the Vespa. No big deal there. And the guy is on the back seat. And I said, I will never, ever be on the back seat of a pink Vespa. I mean, give me your man card. Let's trim the corners. It's about to be an oval, baby, because it's not going to be a man card. It's going to be a man circle. I don't know. It's just you're trimming it up, man. It's just, and so I said, I'll never do that. Maybe it's a little more serious that you see someone else's kids acting a certain way, and you said, I will never let my kids act like that. You ever said that? And then as your kids got a little older, suddenly they're acting just like that. Or maybe you've said, you know what, I will never, ever be like that and put work before my family and put the job before family. And suddenly we're so busy with our career that we don't even know the team that our kid plays on anymore. Or maybe we've said, you know what, I would never, ever have an affair. I would never put myself in the position to do that. I would never. And yet we find ourselves in these moments where we're thinking, oh man, how did I even get here? The idea is, what could we do if we're not connected? Tamara said this week, and it was really, as we were talking about something else, she said this statement and it stood out to me. She said, you could tell me whatever you want about a person, and at this point, wouldn't surprise me. We were talking about general things that people were doing. We were listening to the news when she said this. And then I heard this statement, so I want to personalize it, paraphrase it a little bit to apply to me, that I've been in ministry 22 years, and I've come to find that any of us are capable of anything if we're not connected to the vine. Any of us are capable of anything if we're not connected to the vine. Even riding a pink Vespa, or worse, living far apart from God. Disconnected, we're capable of anything. Remain in him, and he remains in you, and we can do much. It's important to stay connected. So how do we do that? So if we're saying that the source of life is the Lord and that we produce fruit in him, apart from him, we can do nothing. So now how do we stay connected to the vine? And truthfully, Cheryl, at this point, we could give a list of things because there are a ton of ways, a lot of ways to stay connected to the vine. There are a lot of ways. In fact, if I said, you know, is reading the Bible, is that a way to stay connected to the vine? Absolutely. If I said coming to a worship service and worshiping with Chris and with Forrest and the amazing worship team, if I said, you know, coming and worshiping in song, is that a way to stay connected to the vine? Absolutely. How about praying and talking to God and having a conversation with the Lord? Is that a way, come on, is that a way to stay connected to the vine? What about, have you ever been out on a camping trip and it's, you're away from the city lights and you just look up into the sky and see the stars and you see a shooting star and you're like, wow, God, you are big. Oh, and you feel something in your heart. What about that time that you hold that newborn baby and you look deep into their eyes and you see this new little life and you say, oh, God, this is how we are with you, dependent upon you. Is that a way for us to stay connected to the vine? There are lots of ways. What about when the friend that you go to coffee with, they speak just the words that you need in just the right moment? Raul, I mean, is that a way for us to stay connected to the vine? Is that God uses someone to speak into your heart? Absolutely. So there are lots of ways that we can stay connected to the vine. The problem is that we often lack the motivation to make that happen. So today, instead of talking about the specifics of how to pray or how to read or how to do whatever, instead of talking about the specifics, what is the overriding principle? What is the fundamental principle that God is saying that we can remain in the vine and him in us? What is the fundamental principle for us to stay connected to the vine? If you're taking notes here today, here's what I want us to capture. This is what I want us to get today. Is that the best way for us to stay connected to the vine is this, is to do what Jesus says. What is Jesus speaking to your heart? What does he tell us in his word? Just do what he says. And it says this in John 15:10. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. I love the way Francis Chan tells the story here. Francis Chan tells the story of that a parent telling his kid to go and clean the room. How many parents have told their kids to clean their room? How many of you, as a parent or as a kid, you were told to clean your room, and how'd you feel about that? Right. So he tells a story of a parent says, hey, son, daughter, go clean your room. And the kid goes away for a few minutes, and the kid comes back and says, well, did you clean your room? And the kid goes, well, dad, I memorized what you told to me, and I can repeat it back to you just like that. I can tell exactly what you said for me to do. That's great. That's great. Did you clean your room? Dad, I tattooed it on my arm in Greek. I have it in Greek, so I know it in the original language. It is here for me to always see what you have told me to do. That's great, son. A little painful, but it's great. Did you clean your room? Dad, I put it on a postcard, and I taped it to my mirror so every morning I could see what you told me. Did you clean your room? Dad, me and some friends, we got together and I took that card off the mirror and we had coffee and we talked about exactly what it meant to say. And we broke it down into the Greek and the word clean is kleneo and it means to clean hastily and with great fervency. Did you clean your room? Dad, we went to a conference and they taught us how to clean our rooms. They taught us at this conference, they told us how to tuck the beds, the military, make up our beds. You could bounce a quarter off of it. Did you make up your bed? And truthfully today, God is saying to some of us, it is time to clean the room. Jesus is saying, I've spoken to you through the word. I've spoken to your heart for years and years and years, and it's time for us to clean the room, to do what Jesus said. The truth of the matter is, in this room today, I bet there's people that for years, God has been speaking to you on something, either through the word or through his prayer, and he's impressing things upon your heart, and it's time for us to clean the room. For some of us in this room, maybe it's time that you get involved in ministry, and because God's saying, I've given you a gift and an ability that I expect you to exercise in the context of servanthood. Maybe for some, it's time that you start handling your finances properly, and then you live within your means so that it honors God, and so that when God then prompts you, you can give generously because you have lived beneath your means, and it gives you freedom to exercise obedience in your giving. Maybe it's time for you to spend time with your kids and slow down so that you can invest in your children. That just a few months ago, Madison said, in 2 years, I'm going to be in college. And inside my heart, I went, I felt like Fred Sanford in Sanford and Son. Oh, it's a big one. I'm coming home. Because when I went to college, I moved away from home, and I never, ever moved back into my parents' house. And the thought of her leaving was like, oh, my goodness. And so maybe it's time that we need to clean our room and invest in our children. Because there's coming a day where they're not going to be with us anymore. Maybe it's time for us to give generously. Maybe God is saying to you, clean your room, and where is he speaking to that in your life? If you want to remain in him, keep his commands, and it says, and you'll remain in my love. The second thing is, if we want to remain in the vine, not only do we have to do what Jesus says, but we have to love the way Jesus loves. What a deep statement. Like, it sounds pretty basic, but it's pretty deep. He says this, my command is this, to love each other as I have loved you. And when Jesus said that, as I have loved you, that one little phrase there, as he said that one little phrase, he kicked it up a ton of notches. At that moment, it's like, it went from like way down here to way up here. When he said, love as I have loved, why would Jesus say this to the disciples at the Last Supper, one of his last moments with them? Because Jesus knew that we would struggle with this. Do you know the disciples had this long-running conversation of who was going to be the greatest? In fact, they had this argument, I'm going to sit on the right-hand side and you're going to sit on the left-hand side. No, I'm going to be on the right-hand side. And they had this argument of who was going to be the greatest. And Jesus said, you want to know who's going to be the greatest in my kingdom? It's the one who's the least. And then he puts a towel around his waist and he gets what a servant would get is a bowl of water, and he begins to wash all of these grown men, their feet. He says, the greatest will be the one who's the least among you. And Jesus washes their feet and says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain in me and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He's saying, if you remain in me and I remain in you, that you'll keep my command, and what I'm telling you to do is to love others as I have loved you. And you want to know what the very next verse here was, Rob? The very next verse, he said this, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus wants us to bear fruit. What fruit is being produced in our lives today? Why would Jesus say this? Because, Chris, truthfully, Jesus knew that we could not love the way he loved. Because he knows that we love subjectively. We love preferentially. We love selfishly. He knows that we can't love the way that he loves. In the context of marriage, that he knows that we can't love as he loves, because inside we're wanting to be selfish no matter how much we love the other person. And what would happen is that we remain in him, that his fruit begins to be evident in our life, and we're able to love someone else unselfishly because we're remaining in him, and we can love with a self-giving love because that's the fruit produced in us. And that drives us back then to the vine, which allows us then to continue to love as he is loved. So why would Jesus say to love like he loves? Because he knew on our own we could not do it. On the job, is it easy to love that coworker the way he loved us? No. Let's be honest. In marriage, is it easy to love our spouse the way Christ loved us? So he's saying, hey, remain in me and remain in you. You'll keep my commands, and this is what I'm telling you to do, to love as I have loved. Because that brings us back to the vine so that we can love with a selfless love, which brings us back to the vine so we can continue to love as he has loved. Do what Jesus says. Love as he has loved. we remain in him, it produces fruit. Love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control is the fruit to be produced in our lives. So again, what fruit is being produced in our lives? Today, allow God to help us to begin to produce fruit that reflects his desires for our hearts. Because you know what? As we remain in him, the loneliness that we feel in our heart begins to be replaced by the presence and the peace of God. And the bitterness that we begin to feel begins to be replaced with gentleness. And the anger that comes inside of us begins to be replaced with self-control. And the selfishness that we begin to feel begins to be replaced with love and goodness. That he begins to take our desires and replace them with his desires as we remain in the vine. And as he is working in our lives, that there is fruit to be produced. Because that's what kind of God that he is. He wants us to bear much fruit.